This is KCUR 89.3. To a lot of people in the U.S., the idea of a government loneliness program might seem like something out of a free-spending European dreamland, like locally sourced organic school lunches in Italy or months of paid paternity leave in Sweden. Might be nice if you don't mind high taxes. But the campaign was introduced by a conservative British prime minister whose government has been scaling back public spending for years. And that has led critics to call loneliness a self-inflicted wound. KCUR's Alex Smith reports in the third part of our series, Loneliness is Killing You. There are places I remember
all my life, though some have changed. Along the Mersey River, on England's northwest coast, the tourist traps of Liverpool make it almost impossible to forget about the city's most famous export. Sheila Maitland was growing up here when the Beatles were still just a local band, and many Liverpool natives say their working-class neighborhoods felt like big families.
If you needed a slice of bread, we'd give you a slice of bread. If you needed a cup of milk, you'd knock next door, go over the road. Everyone in your street was your auntie. Go over to Auntie Mary. We never had much, but we never went short.
Alex?
Yeah?
Nice to meet you, okay?
Hey.
Want a cup of tea?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds great.
This is Karen.
Hi, Alex.
Hey.
Senior care worker Sue Benson Carson runs the Bridge Community Center in an old Liverpool neighborhood where the city's famous hospitality, humor, and accent are on full display. Within minutes of stepping through the door, guests are welcomed with a cup of tea and an introduction to each and every one of the center's regulars.
Do you hear what he says? You talk like Donny Osmond. Have you met Donny Osmond?
Liverpool is a blue-collar town that's spent decades trying to keep up, while bigger, wealthier cities, particularly London, have become even richer thanks to industries like finance. But many Liverpool natives say their situation has gotten worse since the Great Recession. In the aftermath of that crisis, the government embarked on a long-term program of spending cuts to reduce the deficit. These included cuts to welfare, police, and local governments. Benson Carson started the volunteer-run Bridge Center in an old Salvation Army building in response to those cuts. She says many of her neighbors had nowhere else to turn after losing services they had depended on for years.
Them services that were set up have actually failed people, and they're still failing people by closing the doors. So they set all these services up for people with mental health disabilities, able-bodied people, elderly people, and yet they pulled all the funds in. So it's just like, I just don't get it, I don't understand it.
When austerity cuts were introduced in 2010, the UK had a deficit of £144 billion. Mims Davis is a Conservative Member of Parliament, and she's the current Minister for Sport, Civil Society, and Loneliness. Like many austerity supporters, she says the cuts were difficult but necessary to get the country living within its means.
So none of these were easy, and many communities have, you know, had to take tough decisions. I've been a local councillor. I was in that myself, so I understand that.
Yet austerity supporters say the cuts have gone far beyond fiscal responsibility.
No ifs, no buts, no public sector cuts. No ifs, no buts, no public sector cuts.
Austerity protests have brought hundreds of thousands of people to march in the streets in recent years. They accuse austerity supporters of using budget worries as an excuse to tear apart a welfare system that's been in place for generations. Maggie O'Carroll heads the Women's Organization, a Liverpool nonprofit.
We had, you know, universal services. We had a safety net that if things went wrong in your world, you became ill, you became disabled or whatever, that, you know, the whole would look after the few.
Today, critics say that austerity has stripped neighborhoods of community cornerstones like senior centers, libraries, and safe public spaces, leaving people more isolated. They blame austerity for the steady uptick in poverty over the past 5 years. Liverpool has seen the biggest local government cuts per person of any city in the UK, according to the Centre for Cities, which reports that since austerity began, Liverpool's local government budget has been reduced by nearly a third, the equivalent of more than $1,000 per resident. The effects haven't just been economic, according to Dr. Martin McKee, a professor of public health at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
We've
really seen major deterioration in mental health, both in terms of how people describe their health, but also in the extreme manifestation of poor mental health, which is suicide. There have been an increase in suicides, particularly in those areas that have been most badly affected.
Research also shows an increase in deaths among older people, especially those who've seen services cut. The National Health Service was technically spared from austerity cuts, but critics say the small funding increases it's received have not been enough to keep up with the population's needs. But McKee thinks that's only part of the problem. Like many researchers who've studied health declines in places like the Ozarks, he blames many of the problems on hopelessness and loneliness among people staring down both poverty and an unraveling safety net.
So increasingly what we're seeing is people who are living much more precarious existence on the edge, where they may not know where their income is coming from week to week, for example. And we have picked up how they're more precarious in terms of their employment, the risk of job loss, precariousness of housing.
Many Britons have been troubled to see growing manifestations of poverty that were once rare in this country, like homelessness and church-run food banks. And a recent United Nations report on poverty slammed the government, finding that, quote, great misery had been inflicted unnecessarily. In the fall of 2018, the government announced that austerity was coming to an end, pledging new spending for healthcare, law enforcement, and local governments. And as part of its new loneliness campaign, the government says it will consider how policy decisions will affect isolation and loneliness. Yet critics say the new budget is still nowhere near pre-austerity levels, and they worry that things in the UK may never be the same again. At the Bridge Community Centre, the regulars take the changes in stride. As they linger over a very British lunch of meat pie, peas, and potatoes, Sue Benson Carson keeps the hospitality flowing with her attempt to make a visiting American feel at home with her karaoke impression of not the Beatles, but American country singer Patsy Cline.
Like this one sounds? And his love is no longer my own. I was sitting in our house last night singing it. Now they are gone.
The center now offers adult education classes, counseling, and benefits assistance, among other services. But Benson Carson says it's still mostly funded by donations. They get no direct government funding and have no plans to seek it. It's not that they couldn't use the money, but Benson Carson says that after years of watching funding cuts cause other programs to collapse, she doesn't trust the government's commitment to help people like those under her watch.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm not one of these that are set up something and set up to fail. I'm not going to fail myself, so I'm not going to fail anybody else. You know, I always try my best.
Now that the government is taking on loneliness, it will probably run into even more mistrust and skepticism, as well as bigger questions about building community, including what if people just aren't interested? For KCUR 89.3, I'm Alex Smith.